Chapter 15 this evening. So if you have your Bibles, if you turn there with me, we're going to be beginning at verse 1. We're going to read through verse 8, but not initially here, but I just want to give you a little kind of a little background as we go into this chapter. Diane, would you mind asking the blessing upon this word, please? Amen. I think what we're going to be looking at more than anything else, primarily history here tonight, you know. And I think as we start this, it's important to understand that if it weren't for the overruling hand of God, the Jewish nation could never have accomplished what God called them to do because of the wickedness that they gave into. Bearing witness of the one true living God, the writing of the scriptures, and bringing in the Savior in the world, again, none of that would be possible if it were not for the hand of God upon them. So we have here, there are two kingdoms now, and both kingdoms literally had departed from the Lord to serve idols. In the kingdom of Judah, the priests still carried on the temple ministry in Judah, but during the 345 years from Rehoboam to Zedekiah, there were only 8 of Judah's 19 kings that were classified as good. As for Israel's 20 kings, for the most part, they were all self-serving men and all were classified as evil. Some were better than others, but there was none who could be compared to David. Something interesting to remember is when studying about these kings is the fact that the Book of Kings and the Book of Chronicles don't record history from exactly the same perspective. For example, the books of 1st and 2nd Kings focus more on the kings of Israel, but 1st and 2nd Chronicles puts more emphasis upon David's dynasty in Judah. Now, the northern kingdom of Israel would later be called, of course, Samaria. And the Samaritans, because they were a people who were a mixed race, not only Jews, but mixed with other nations and what have you, they were considered to be dogs in the eyes of the Jewish people. When the Northern Kingdom is mentioned in the Book of Chronicles, it's only mentioned when dealing with the nation of Judah. So the Northern Kingdom of Israel had 9 dynasties in about 250 years. That means that with like 9 different bloodlines, not just from David. While the southern kingdom faithfully maintained the Davidic dynasty for 350 years. And of course, that was the dynasty from which the Lord Jesus Christ would come, which was prophesied that he would come from. Matthew 1, verse 1 starts with the fact that the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So with all its faults, the kingdom of Judah was identified with the one true living God, and they had kings that, again, all came from David's family. This next chapter names 2 of these kings, Abijam, which is also known as Abijah, and Asa. And so we'll get right into it here in verses 1 through 8. In the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, Abijam became king over Judah, and he reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Maacah, and the granddaughter of Abishalom. And he walked in the sins of his father, which he had done before him. His heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. Nevertheless, for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem by setting up his son after him and by establishing Jerusalem. Because David did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and had not turned aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. Now the rest of the acts of Abijam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And there was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. So Abijam rested with his father, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Asa, his son, reigned in his place. Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, was handpicked by his father to be king because he seemed to have a proven ability to rule. And we see that in 2 Chronicles 11:22. It says, and then Jeroboam appointed Abijah, the son of Maacah, as chief to be leader among his brothers, for he intended to make him king. The problem was he appeared to be able outwardly, but he was not a good man inwardly. He was kind of like the Pharisees. Outwardly appeared to be righteous and good, but inwardly, a lot of problems. As a result, he only reigned for 3 years. Now, when I was looking at this, I couldn't help but think about Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 17, which says, do not be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? And I think about some of the kings in our day, some of the rulers, the dictators in our day, who didn't last long. Omar Gaddafi, Saddam Hussein, and the list goes on and on and on, you know. Because if you're wicked, you're going to reap what you sow. Now, he was from David's line through both parents. But his paternal grandfather was David's rebellious son, Absalom. And Abijah may have had David's bloodline flowing in his veins, but he certainly didn't have David's perfect heart. He was more like his grandfather. Even though he walked in the sins of his father, Jeroboam, there was a little spark of faith that seemed to shine through in his battles with Jeroboam. And he knew the history of the Jewish people, for one thing, and what God said to Moses and what God said to David. And he had the courage to preach a sermon to Jeroboam and his army, facing an army of 800,000 men, who is twice the size of Judah's. But he reminded them of the true foundations of the faith. In 2 Chronicles 13, verse 1 through 18, it says, in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, Abijah became king over Judah, and he reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Uriel of Gibeah, and there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. Abijah set the battle in order with the army of valiant warriors, 400,000 choice men. Jeroboam also drew up the battle formation against him with 800,000 choice men of valor. So it wasn't only that he had twice as many men, but these men were men of valor. They were seasoned warriors. And Abijah stood on the mount of Zeraim, which is in the mountains of Ephraim, and said, hear me, Jeroboam, and all Israel. Should you not know that the Lord God of Israel gave the dominion over Israel to David forever, to him and his sons by covenant of salt? Yet Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the servant of Solomon, the son of David, rose up and rebelled against the Lord. Then worthless rogues gathered to him and strengthened themselves against Jeroboam, the son of Solomon, when Jeroboam was young and inexperienced and could not withstand them. And now you think to withstand the king of the kingdom of the Lord, which is in the hands of David's the sons of David, and you are a great multitude, and with you are the gold calves which Jeroboam made for you as God. So, in other words, it was kind of like, remember in the Old Testament when the Jewish people brought the Ark of the Covenant with them to battle, thinking that was going to help them to overcome the enemy? Well, it was kind of by the same token, they thought these golden calves were going to help them, you know, in their battle against the southern kingdom. This is, now do you think you can withstand the kingdom of the Lord, which is in the hands of the sons of David? And you are a great multitude, and with you are the golden calves which Jeroboam made for you as gods. Have you not cast out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron, and the Levites, and made for yourself priests like the peoples of other lands, so that whoever comes to consecrate himself with a young bull and seven rams may be a priest of the things that are not gods? But as for us, the Lord our God, we have not forsaken him. Well, that's not entirely true. And the priests who minister to the Lord are the sons of Aaron, and the Levites attend to their duties. That was true. But they burn to the Lord every morning and every evening burnt sacrifices and sweet incense. They also set the showbread in order on the pure gold table and the lampstand of gold with its lamps to burn every evening. For we keep the command of the Lord our God, but you have forsaken him. Now look, God himself is with us as our head, and his priests with sounding trumpets to sound the alarm against you. O children of Israel, do not fight against the Lord God of your fathers. You shall not prosper. But Jeroboam caused an ambush to go around behind them. So they were in front of Judah, and the ambush was behind them. When Judah looked around, to their surprise, the battle line was in both front and rear, and they cried out to the Lord, and the priests sounded the trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave a shout, and as the men of Judah shouted, it happened that God struck Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. And the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. And Abijah and his people struck them with a great slaughter, so 500,000 choice men of Israel fell slain. Thus the children of Israel were subdued at that time, and the children of Judah prevailed because they relied on the Lord God of their fathers. Amazing. 500,000 people. That's 500,000 people. 500,000 soldiers were struck. Now, I should mention that when he said covenant of salt, again, that is a saying that means it was a perpetual covenant. And this is something that is also mentioned in Numbers 18, verse 19. It says, all the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offered to the Lord, I have given to you and your sons and daughters with you as an ordinance forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord with you and your descendants with you. So again, it was for the glory of his own name that the Lord acted as he did here in overcoming Jeroboam. Abijah was not a godly ruler, as we just read to you before, even though you have to recognize the fact that he did have an understanding of God's truth and his covenant. He was no Joshua, but the God of Joshua was still the God of the people and still proved himself faithful. In this scenario, we see the fact that, and I think it's something that we even need to recognize today, that God uses imperfect people, and he is faithful to his covenants, just as he will be faithful to the New Testament covenant. As it says in 2 Timothy 2 and 13, it says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So, I couldn't find how Abijah died, but he only reigned 3 years. And in that time, he would have a whole passel of kids to carry on, again, the Davidic dynasty. 2 Chronicles 13, verse 20 through 22 says, so Jeroboam did not recover strength again in the days of Abijah, and the Lord struck him, and he died. But Abijah grew mighty, married 14 wives, and begot 22 sons and 16 daughters. Now the rest of the acts of Abijah, his ways, and his sayings are written in the annals of the prophet Iddo. So verse 9 through 11 says, in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Asa became king over Judah, and he reigned 41 years in Jerusalem. His grandmother's name was Maacah, the granddaughter of Abishalom. Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did his father David. And Asa ruled for 41 years. He began his reign with a heart like David. But even though he was a good king for the most part all of his life, during the last 5 years of his reign, he kind of rebelled a little bit, you know. But thanks to his father, Abijah's victory over Jeroboam, Asa had peace during his first 10 years of his reign. And during that time, he led a national reformation that cleansed the nation of all of its idols. Well, to an extent. Let's look at what he did in verses 12 through 13. It says, and he banished the perverted persons from the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made, and he removed Maacah, his grandmother, from being queen mother, because she had made an obscene image to Asherah. And Asa cut down her obscene image and burned it by the brook Kidron. Now, many of you probably, if you have looked at any kind of any artifacts of antiquity, have seen the idols of Asherah. She's like a woman that has many, 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 many breasts on it. Have you ever seen it? And that's why it was considered obscene, you know. He removed the perverted persons from the land. The word interpreted perverted here is the Hebrew word kadashi, and it means the sodomite, homosexual, temple prostitute. Again, notice it says he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. That means that removing them was right in the sight of the Lord. And he removed his grandmother from being queen mother because of her idolatry. Now that might sound kind of brutal, you know, but Jesus said in Luke 14, verse 25 through 26, it says, "Now great multitudes went to him, and he turned and he said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, in his own life also, cannot be my disciple.'" Does it mean literally hate them? It means that you put God before anything else. So if it comes down to choosing mom or choosing the Lord, you have to choose the Lord. That's what Asa did. And again, notice it says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 14 and 15 says, "But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was loyal to the Lord all of his days. He also brought to the house of the Lord the things which his father had dedicated, and the things which he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and utensils. Although he didn't complete the task of ridding everything, Asa's heart was still right with God." And I can think that's the most important thing that God looks at, is that he looks at the heart. As he said, you know, in Samuel, 1 Samuel 16:7, when Samuel went to look for the next king, They brought David's brothers out before him, you know, and he said, "Surely this has got to be the king," you know. And then finally he said, "Nope, these aren't." God said, "These aren't the king. And then he brought out David, and this is what God said. "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look on his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as a man sees, for a man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" That's why, again, when it comes to, again, even men in ministry, you should never, ever look at the outer appearance. Even Paul, he said of himself, he said, they say that, you know, he's not that very much in, as far as his appearance looks, you know, and his speech is contemptible. He said, "I'm going to be the same way when I'm with you as what I sound like," you know. So, again, the Lord sometimes chooses the foolish things to confound the wise. In Jeremiah 17, 19, and 10, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And he says, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing." So the Lord knows what's in everyone's heart. Verse 16 through 21 says, "And now there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. And Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might let none go out or come into Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa took all the silver and the gold that was left in the treasuries of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house and delivered them into the hand of his servants. And King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad, the son of Tibbarim, the son of Hezron, king of Syria, who dwelt in Damascus, saying, 'Let there be a treaty between you and me, as there was between my father and your father. See, I have sent you a present of silver and gold. Come and break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so that he may withdraw from me.' And so Ben-Hadad heeded King Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. He attacked Ijon, Dan, Abel-Beth, Maacah, and all Chinnereth with all the land of Naphtali. And now it happened, when Baasha heard it, that he stopped building Ramah and remained in Tisra." So Asa, he sought this alliance with the Syrian king Ben-Hadad to break his alliance, and he wanted him to break his alliance with Baasha, king of Israel, because he didn't feel like he could overcome Baasha himself. Now, this would indeed elicit help from Syria, and Baasha would relent and stay in his own country. However, this would end up being a stumbling stone to the people of Judah, to Asa and to Judah themselves. In verse 22, then King Asa made a proclamation throughout all Judah. None was exempted, and they took the stones and the timber of Ramah, which Baasha had used for building, and with them King Asa built Geba of Benjamin and Mizpah. In 2 Chronicles 14, 6 through 13, it talks about that. And he built fortified cities in Judah, for the land had rest. He had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said to Judah, let us build these cities and make walls around them, and towers and gates and bars, while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah, who carried shields and spears, and from Benjamin 280,000 men who carried shields and drew bows. All of these were mighty men of valor. Then Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots, and he came to Mareshah. So Asa went out against him, and they sent the troops to battle in a battle array in the valley of Zarephath at Mareshah. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it's nothing for you to help, whether it many or whether those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we will go against this multitude, O Lord. You are God. Do not let man prevail against you. And so the Lord struck, here again we find the Lord struck the Ethiopians, even though there were many more than Israel or Judah had. They struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people who were with him pursued them to Gera. So the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover, for they were broken before the Lord and his army, and they carried away very much spoil. So again, the building supplies came in handy, you know, from Baasha, what they confiscated from the town that he was building and fortifying. And, you know, it was the king of Egypt, the king of Ethiopia, you know. In this case, Asa sought the Lord, but God is going to backtrack a little bit, as we're going to see, and he's going to deal with Asa's unbelief in the fact that he took the silver and gold to give to the king of Syria. In 2 Chronicles 16, verse 6 through 10, it says, then King Asa took all Judah, and he carried away the stones and timbers of Ramah, which Baasha had used for building, and with them he built Geba and Mizpah. And at that time Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Labam not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly, therefore from now on you shall have wars. Then Asa was angry with the seer, and he put him in prison, for he was enraged at him because of this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at this time. Remember I said that he kind of fell away into a kind of a backslidden condition. He blames the messenger, you know, and he doesn't like the message. And again, it shows you that his heart was beginning to turn the wrong way, because he clearly oppresses some of the people. Verse 23 through 24 says, and the rest of the acts of Asa and his might, all that he did, and the cities which he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? But in the time of his old age, he was diseased in his feet. And sometimes God afflicts you when you walk in disobedience. And so Asa rested with his father, and he was buried with his fathers in the city of David, his father. Then Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his place. In 2 Chronicles 16, verse 12 through 14, it gives us a little more insight into the change of his character. Notice what it says. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. Notice what it says next now. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. And so Asa rested with his father. He died in the 41st year of his reign. They buried him in his own tomb, and he had made for himself in the city of David, and they laid him in a bed which was filled with spices and various ingredients prepared in a mixture of ointments. They made a very great burning for him. Now, I don't think that this means that they burn him like on a funeral pyre, because that, of course, is something that the Jews didn't do. I think that this was when they burned incense to him. Initially, Asa sought the Lord in every situation. Now he says, you know, why pray? You know, why even call a doctor? You know, so what was the result? He died, you know. Had he sought the Lord and repented of his treatment of the prophet and the people that he oppressed, maybe the Lord would have allowed him to live. And maybe his last acts would have been greater than the first. We don't know. We do know that the Lord does answer prayer of kings who truly repent, even if they're in sickness. We know Hezekiah did. Hezekiah found out that he was only given a certain amount of time to live, and he turned his face toward the wall, and he prayed, and the Lord heard his prayer and gave him many more years, and God healed him. So there's a lesson for us here. So oftentimes, and again, the things that happen to Israel happen for our admonition, who the end of the world has come. So oftentimes we trust in ourselves, the world, you know, in things before we even seek the Lord. I'll be honest with you, I've been in a lot of prayer about even going to do this procedure, you know, but I kind of feel a peace about it. But I've asked the Lord, what do you want me to do, Lord, you know? Now, I do know that God has given physicians as well, and he's given them the abilities that they have, but only God can heal. But I think it's what the importance of what we see in tonight's lesson is the fact that we should seek the Lord in every matter of our lives. We can sure save ourselves a lot of heartache. Any thoughts or any questions before we close in prayer? Okay, David, you want to close in prayer, brother?